If you will, open your Bibles to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. In Luke chapter 22, we'll begin with verse 15. Luke chapter 22 and verse 15. We come now to the recording in the ministry of Jesus of the third Passover that Jesus will attend with his disciples. At this Passover, something strange happens. And in Luke chapter 22 and verse 15, and he said to them, "With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Now, he didn't say that in the other two Passovers. But in this particular Passover, he expressed his desire. There's something that's going to happen that is the desire of his very heart. And then he went on to say in verse 16, "For I say unto you, I will not any more eat of thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." And he took bread, and he gave thanks and brake it, and gave unto them, and saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." One thing Jesus said at this particular Passover, I'm looking forward. I've been looking for this from the time go. Why? And then at the conclusion of the Passover, he instituted what we call the Last Supper or the Lord's Supper. And how the two fit together and what's involved in that is very important. And this is something that is strange in relation to the Passover as far as a Jew is concerned and those who've studied the Old Testament. And then go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And another reference is made in relation to the Passover that's very strange. If you could call back the Jeremiah and Ezekiel, you could call back Moses and others, and ask them, how does this fit in with the Passover? They would be puzzled by it on that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." Christ our Passover. How is Jesus associated with the Passover? And here it's relating that he is the sacrifice of the Passover. That would take us to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 29. I want to bring out these events that happened in the ministry of Jesus in relation to the Passover that was very strange to those who have observed and their forefathers have observed the Passover down through the years. And so in John chapter 1 and verse 29, we find John the Baptist has been proclaiming that the Messiah was coming and that he wasn't even worthy to untie his sandals or to loose his sandals. And then he sees Jesus coming, and John says, and John chapter 1, verse 29, "The next day John," that's John the Baptist, "sees Jesus coming unto him and saith unto him, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Now, again, this is kind of strange. Why was John saying that? Why was Jesus anxious to have this particular Passover? And why did he institute another supper and said he would no longer eat of the Passover until the kingdom of God would come. And he institutes this one, what we call the Last Supper. And then if you look at John chapter 19, and you'll find at the crucifixion of Jesus, this wasn't on just any day. The crucifixion would come about on a special day when Jesus would be crucified. It had to be the right year in which the Passover would be observed at the right time. And in John chapter 19, verse 13, when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew tongue, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover at about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. And as a result of this particular time, as Pilate tried to set him free, the priests and the Levites had persuaded the crowd to cry out to crucify Jesus. And Jesus was crucified on this Passover. Why? Well, when we think about the Passover and we go back to the Old Testament and realize that the Passover is one of seven feasts that the Jews were to observe every year. It was the first feast. In fact, turn to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. Here we find a summary of the seven feasts and the time that they were to be observed. As we study the Passover and when it was instituted, we understand that it was instituted in remembering what God did when he delivered the Jews out of the bondage of slavery and take them to the promised land. Of course, God had already warned Pharaoh and tried to get Pharaoh to release the Jews. You know the account of that, and he refused until the last plague. And when God instructed Moses and told them that now at midnight, you be ready to leave. He said, I will come to Egypt. I will send the destroyer to each house in Egypt. And the destroyer will go in and take the firstborn of the family, the firstborn of the cattle, and will destroy them. So the oldest person, oldest child in that house would die on that night. And he instructed the Jews to prepare for that. He said, now when you observe this Passover, you're to not have any leavened bread. And we'll talk about that next week. You're not to have any leavened bread. You're to be ready to leave at any moment. And when you leave, You ask the Egyptians of their possessions, get their gold or silver, all that they might have. And so at this time, he said, I will come and visit each house. But for you, you prepare a lamb, a male lamb. And on this day, as you kill that lamb, take the blood of the lamb, and not just put it on the house, but put it on the doorpost. Don't put it on the windows or anywhere else. You're to put it on the doorpost. You're not to put it on the door. It's to be on one side of the doorpost, on the other side, and then at the top. And then when I come to visit a house, the house that has the blood, I will pass over that house, and the destroyer will not go in and take the firstborn. That happened. They were to be prepared to leave. They had their suitcase packed. They were ready at any moment to depart from Egypt. And they did. That night, when the death angel or when the destroyer came in, the Egyptians was ready for them to go. Pharaoh was ready for them to go. They'd give them anything that they might leave because the plague was so great. After that, God instructed them the first of seven feasts that they were to observe every year would be this Passover, relating back to that event. So in Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. And then notice now in verse 5, in the 14th day of the first month at evening is the Lord's Passover. The first month of the Jewish calendar that he established then would be in our calendar, April. And so I'm going to use that term, April, instead of the name of the calendar or the month that God gave them to have. You'll be more familiar with them. On April the 14th every year, not the 15th, not the 13th, not the 12th, not the 27th, but on the 14th day of April of every year, they were to observe this feast, the Passover. As you go through and all of the restrictions with the Passover, nothing is said about Jesus. Nothing is said about the Lord being the Passover. This, as to all they knew and what they knew about it, was the fact that they were to remember what God had done for them and observe that. And then seven other feasts would follow on particular days and a particular event that would be involved with each feast. With that in mind now, turn to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 25. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 25. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 25. Now think of this as you think of a parable. A parable is a story, a familiar story, that people knew. A sower sowing seeds and so on. The parable, in that simple story, people could hear the story and understand it. As a sower would go out to sow his seed, some would fall on good ground, some would fall on stony ground, some would fall in on a pathway or hard ground or rocky soil and so on. And then the results of that seed and the various types of ground that were there, and people could understand that. But that wasn't plain to the disciples. The spiritual was told. Jesus went on to explain to the disciples the spiritual meaning of that parable. And the disciples said, well, why don't you just tell us plainly these things instead of being in a parable? And Jesus mentioned that for those who do not believe in him would not understand. But only for those who believe and those that have spiritual ears can understand the truth that is involved in it. It was a mystery that would be revealed to those who really saw it. That is there. So in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 25, wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. There are things in the Old Testament that were performed, that were carried out, and they were to observe these things and remember them, but it was a mystery as to what was really happening and what was really going on. They could understand the simplicity of it. Yes, this is remembering when God sent the destroyer into the homes of the Egyptians and took the firstborn, and we were delivered out of that slavery to go to a promised land. Now, we know to apply that in many ways, and a person that's a child of God would say, yes, that's a picture of God taking us out of the slavery of sin, and we'll be able to go to a heavenly home. And what a beautiful picture that would be even of that. Now, in the New Testament, these mysteries and these things that happened in the Old Testament are now revealed to us where we can understand the spiritual application and the spiritual meaning that is involved in this. And we see from what I've already had you to look up that Jesus looked forward to this Passover because he was saying the Passover really was talking about when his blood would be shed for our sins, when he would pay the price and we'd be delivered from the sin that we're involved in. And being that he is the Passover lamb, a male without blemish, we can begin now to see how that Jesus fulfills this event of the Passover and its real meaning, not only that God delivered them out of Egypt, but that God, through Jesus Christ, allows us to have forgiveness of sin through his shed blood. But now this was to be observed on a particular day. On the 14th day of April, the Jews were to observe the Passover. On the 10th day, before the 14th, a lamb was to be set aside and to be killed on the 14th day of that. And so this Passover would happen at different weekdays throughout the year. On one year, April the 14th would fall on a Monday. On the next year, April the 14th would fall maybe on a Wednesday, and so on. It would vary from one year to the next as to what day of the week it would fall on. Well, what difference does that make? What's important about that? Well, then as you study and as you realize the account of Jonah, as he rebelled against God and tried to run from God, he would not witness to the city of Nineveh, and how that God punished him. He was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. Jesus mentions this in Matthew and says, the only sign you have of salvation, that as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Is Jesus of Nazareth really the Son of God? Is he the Messiah? Does he fit all of the descriptions that are given and meet those particular things? One is that he's the Passover lamb. He's not a woman. He's a male without sin, born of a virgin. We can check that off. What about then being crucified, buried in the tomb for 3 nights, and raised on the 3rd day? Will he fit that criteria? Can we check that off? Well, as our theologians and our churches down through the years have looked at the matter of the Passover and the matter of Jesus dying on the cross, they found that as Jesus went to the cross and as he was crucified, they wanted him to be taken down that very same day because the next day was the Sabbath day. Well, that sounds reasonable. The Jews said, you can't have him on the cross on the Sabbath day. And so they did. Well, with that in mind, it would be reasonable to say that Jesus was crucified on Friday. And the Sabbath being Saturday. The regular Sabbath is the 7th day of the week. So the last day of the week on Saturday was the Sabbath. So therefore, Jesus had to be crucified on Friday. But in the Gospel of John, he tells us that Jesus was crucified, yes, on the Passover, and the next day was the High Sabbath. Where did the High Sabbath come from, or the High Day come from? We'll talk about this next week as we see in the observance of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Passover happened on the 14th day. The unleavened bread was on the 15th day. On the 1st day of the unleavened bread, you were not to do any work. So they could not take him down on that next day after the Passover because it was a high day or a high Sabbath. The day following that was the regular Sabbath. So he'd be on the cross for at least 2 days or 3 days before he'd be taken down because of the special Sabbath on Friday and the regular Sabbath on Saturday. And then the 3rd feast was that of the first fruits that would happen on the 1st day of the week. And as we look into that, we'll see that Jesus is also the first fruit. He was to be raised on that feast day. So that presented a problem. Would Jesus fit all of this together in the matter of what's going on? As we study the Word of God, we say, yes, Jesus was crucified on the Passover. He was buried on the unleavened bread on that day. There was not to be any work the high day, the high Sabbath. And then he was raised on the first day of the week, the first fruits. Being crucified on Thursday, he was in the tomb Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night. 3 days and three nights. If he was crucified on Friday, he would have been in the tomb Friday night and Saturday night, which would not meet the criterion concerning that he is the Son of God and that he did fulfill what was being told of him. This was not spelled out exactly as we see it now because it was a mystery back then. Now today, we see this and we find that the truth, and we can see the mystery revealed to us in what really the Passover was dealing with. So the Passover was dealing with the fact that Jesus, the Lamb of God, would be crucified for our sins. And he would be buried on the Feast of Unleavened Bread and raised on the first day of the week, which would put him in the tomb Friday night, Saturday night. Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night, fulfilling all that we're to have there. Now, think about the Passover. The blood was not to be placed just anywhere on the house. Special instructions was given that the blood was to be placed on each side of the door. Let's take a look at that for just a moment. Let's look at Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. And let's look at verse 3. I've shared this with you. Now I want you to see it in the Word of God. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 3. Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of the month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall he make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it upon the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat. And so here we find that the blood is to be placed on each side of the door and then at the top of the door. And then in verse 11, and thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. Ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses wherein you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. We sing the songs today, and rightly so, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. This was relating back, as far as the Jews were concerned, to the event in Egypt. We see it now from what we learn in the New Testament, and the mystery is revealed to us of the real teaching of the Passover. Not only was it relating to that of the past, but it was looking to the future, and that Jesus would be that Passover lamb that would be crucified for us. His blood would be shed, and it must be placed properly over our life. Those that were in the house, you might have one in the house, and he decided, well, I don't need to be here. I'm going to go to my neighbor's house. Well, they don't have the blood. No, you're to be in this house. How important it is that we obey God's word concerning salvation. There is no one else. You cannot be saved by any other name. There's only one name given among men, and that's the name of Jesus. And Jesus is the only one that has shed his sinless blood for each one of us. That is, we have the blood applied to our life, and that is done so by faith, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, that he was crucified for us. He was buried, and he was raised the third day. That blood then applies to our soul, our life, and God passes over us as far as the judgment, and we are free, we are saved by the precious blood of our Lord and Savior. So Jesus is the Lamb of God. He was crucified on the day of the Passover. Look at 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. 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 Very important. As we look at 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Oh, what a precious passage, especially verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Jesus is our Passover lamb. Now be careful. As you look at the Passover, and as you might talk to some Jewish people who have been observing the Passover, and some of them today observe by tradition, no longer do the Jews or does the world recognize the Passover on its particular day. They observe the Passover according to the moon and the phases of the moon. In doing that, then we do not have the story concerning that Jesus would be 3 days and three nights in the earth, that he meets all that God said he would do in the matter that he is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the one and the only one that can redeem us by his precious blood, the only one that can conquer death and hell. And praise God, what a Savior we have. And so as we look at the feast, we will not look at it like the Jews would look at it, nor will we understand it in the same way that the Jews understand it, because that was a mystery to them. But we're going to look at the seven feasts in relation to what God teaches us, how it relates to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and what a celebration we have. What a truth that we can have and that we can observe. And just as they were to do it according to the word, so must we serve God according to his word and serve him and be obedient to him. Do you have the blood of Jesus upon your soul? Have you done what the Bible tells you to do, in that when God looks at you, he'll not send the destroyer, but he'll pass over you because you have the blood? One of the simplest plans we have of the salvation and how we can be saved is found in Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. Remember now, the scriptures and all throughout the Bible, it teaches us without any doubt that salvation is by faith, by grace, the power of God. It's not by works. And so in Romans chapter 10 and verse 8, Romans chapter 10 and verse 8, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith. I cannot overemphasize that. The word of faith, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You might not understand it, but you believe it. You obey it. Why? The Jews were saying, do we have to put the blood on our doorpost? Why can't we just put some blood on the house somewhere? Because it has a meaning. When you draw a line from one side of the doorpost to the other and let the line drop from the top to the bottom, you'll form a cross. Everything that God does, every word, every jot, every tittle in the Word of God is important. Do not change it. Do not move it. It has a message that we are to learn and to obey God. Then it goes on to say in verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Do you really believe? Do you realize that people who do not believe in Jesus will not go to heaven? They're not saved. They cannot be saved by religion or anything else, only through Jesus Christ. Well, what does that mean to us? Well, come on down to verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. In these passages that I have just read, not only do you have the plan of salvation, but you have our marching orders. You have our commission that we're to take the good news that Jesus fulfilled the Passover. And now we have the Lord's Supper that he did die for us. The bread represents his body that was sacrificed for us. The fruit of the vine represents his blood that was spilled for us. He fulfilled it. And the world needs to know that Jesus saves. And that they can find that salvation. They can find forgiveness of sin. And you and I are the ones to take it to them. Are you praying for a lost soul? Are you being that witness that would cause others to know about Jesus and to trust him as their Savior? What a task we have. This all involved in the first feast of the Passover. Do you have the blood on your house? On your soul, you can't deny it. During the invitation, you come. We'll be glad to help you that you might pray and ask God to forgive you and to save you by the blood of Jesus, believing that he is the Son of God, that he died for you, he was buried and raised again the third day. It could be you've done that. You follow the Lord in believer's baptism, fellowship of the church, that you might grow and be that witness to be able to tell others about Jesus. But are you doing that? Are you witnessing to your neighbor? Why not come tonight and ask God to forgive you and to give your life to him, that his light might shine through you and you be that witness. Ada needs to know about Jesus. Are you serving him? Will you tell others of him? Are you giving that others might go? Only these questions can you answer, and may you do so in this invitation.